Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Roka Report podcast in association with the Southern Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav and you join us in the aftermath of the announcement, the worst kept secret in the world, that Michael Beale has become the new head coach of Sunderland. We thought after the game at the weekend, we did consider recording a podcast about a 1-0 defeat. Kind of sat back and thought, nah, I think we should probably wait and see what happens with Michael Beale, because at some point it's going to be announced, and finally he is the head coach of Sunderland. And joining us to talk all about it is Chris. All right, mate?
I'm all right. It's just good to have something finally announced, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
It's nice.
Yeah, well, good for some. A lot of people aren't very happy with the news. But yeah, let's get straight into it. The appointment of Michael Beale, I don't think anybody had this guy at the top of the list when they were probably mapping out who they thought might be the next head coach. But it kind of came out the blue at the end of last week that Michael Beale had been interviewed for the job and that he could be a contender, and then sort of start to firm up over the weekend. And I think really we've been expecting this. When you heard Michael Beale was the name in the frame, what was your initial thought? Because obviously we've seen the reaction from the majority of people online, but for your perspective, what did you think when that came up?
Why not? Was my initial reaction was why not? Because if you look at all the names that had been banded around, you know, and I think I might have put it in last week's editorial, all the weeks are merging into one now, so I can't remember which week is which. We talked about it being the next phase, which maybe needed a technical coach, which maybe needed that kind of person to bring them on, to these players onto the next phase. And all of the names in the hat seem to be like going in that direction. And like I said, I think I'll try to sum it up in the editorial as well, to say all of these managers that they've picked, and we went through them from Johnson through Alex Neil with a discipline, through Tony Mowbray, a safe pair of hands, that kind of, you know, arm around the shoulder job, bit of man management. And now they've clearly been thinking, right, well, what's next? And we've got a great young squad, and there has been an appearance of winging it a little bit. Bring in a good coach who's got a lot of experience in not only bringing young players on, but also having that structure and patterns of play and making us a little bit more flexible tactically. And all, like I said, all of those people who were named were that way inclined. So when Beale's name came up, it was like, well, yeah, he's kind of one of that type. So why not, was the initial reaction.
Yeah. And do you know what it is? We've got to address it head on. You know, the reaction to this news has not been positive into overall. I've seen quite a lot of balanced reaction to it, but to be honest, I've never seen this level of just sort of negativity. I'm only talking about online, by the way, because that's the only reaction I can kind of gauge. We haven't had a game yet. but the reaction has been overwhelmingly in one direction, and I can kind of understand why you might look at the way things went from at Rangers and think, bloody hell, like, I thought we would have maybe grabbed somebody on the up. And a lot of the other names that we were hearing and that we were sort of in the running in terms of the bookies odds anyways, the likes of Will Still, Hellberg, the Swedish guy, Sable, the French coach, these were the names that were sort of being mentioned. And you can kind of look at them and go, yeah, young coaches with, you know, tactically switched on coaches. But, you know, nothing was jumping off the page for me, if I'm honest. Not even Will Still. I mean, Will Still's kind of the flavour of the month at the minute, because he became a bit of a meme for doing very well as an unqualified coach, didn't he, in France? But none of these names really jumped off the page to us. But I think what was very clear was that we were going to go down this route regardless of who it was in terms of the technical coach perspective, because we saw Alex Neil and with Mowbray, they wanted more control as head coaches than they were ever going to get. The way we work now, they were never going to be able to have a bigger say on transfers and all the rest of it and structure. So we were always going to go this way, in my opinion, where we would bring in somebody who first and foremost is a coach. Now, whether that's the right approach or not, I don't know. But it does mark a point in our sort of recent history, really, is that this is the time when we went a different way. I know a lot of people have said it's an uninspiring choice, and perhaps it is to some, but I actually think we've gone this route for a very good reason. We've gone this route and we've went, right, okay, we just want somebody who is purely a coach. First and foremost, is a coach that can improve players, because we've got a young squad of players who we need to improve, ultimately. So whether that's the right choice or not, I've got absolutely no idea. None of us do. And it's I can understand the frustrations people have had. I'm not sitting here with my hand up saying that Michael Beale would have been my choice. All I'm doing is I'm trying to be a little bit more balanced about it and maybe work out the reasons why they've done this. When I think about, you know, any of this stuff, when it comes to hiring managers, when it comes to signing players, I try and park anything they've done in the past to one side, and I try to judge them on what they do at Sunderland. And Michael Beale, what you've got to hope is that he's learned from his mistakes, because he made mistakes at Rangers. And I know the club were keen in the statement, we might read it in a minute, but they were very keen in the statement to point out his win percentage at Rangers, which is being overlooked to a degree because, you know, he wasn't very well liked there. And you know, the Celtic thing where they could never get a win over Celtic and they lost in cup finals and all the rest of it. The club made a very big point of this whole win percentage thing. But he didn't go down well at Rangers. There's no getting away from it. QPR, I think he did perhaps a better job than they might have realised, given that they nearly got relegated under Gareth Ainsworth towards the end of the season. The reason he left a sour taste there was the way he left and the way he sort of courted himself for bigger jobs when he was coming out and talking about loyalty and all the rest of it, and nearly ended up at Wolves and then did eventually leave for Rangers. So we can't ignore any of that. You've got to take these things into account. But I just think this is a very, very different job to the two he's had. So I'm not saying I'm excited about it. I'm just trying to see the rationale in it all, and to a degree I can understand it.
Just talking about his record, because obviously that's all you can go off, you know, what he's done. It looks like, you know, his track record as a coach turned him into a manager, basically, because as a name, he was one of these who, you know, had a playing career that wasn't really a playing career. For whatever reason that was, and he's been coaching now for 20 years, and his name, he's now reached clubs like QPR, Sunderland, Rangers, purely on the back of being a fantastic coach, and he's made that name for himself. The clubs that he's been a manager of, QPR, you know, he had 5 months at QPR, so basically 5 months at a club doing all right, but you can't judge any manager or whatever on 5 months. Even if he's bottom of the league and he's lost most of the games, because who knows what type of job they've got on. They might have to turn the club around. They might need 12 months just to turn the squad around, and it might need 12 months of failure to sort things out to get going and things like that. You just never know. But 5 months is nothing to judge him on a QPR, even if he did all right on paper, which it seems like he did all right on paper, but, you know, who knows how that would have went. And then moving on to Rangers, I mean, if you're offered the job and you're QPR manager, I mean, most managers would take the Rangers job, especially if you've only actually been a manager of a club for 5 months. If you're that early in your career, how many chances do you get to manage a club that?
And he'd already been there. And he'd already been there as his assistant under Gerrard, so he knew the club. He probably knew half the players, you know.
And that's a good sign as well, because obviously the hierarchy at Rangers thought, well, he was great when he was here. Let's go for it and get him in. But then again, at Rangers, I mean, you know, you can talk about 70-odd% win percentage, but to be honest, in Scotland, Rangers, what does that really count for? I mean, what does it count for? You can be sacked as Rangers manager winning 85% of your games because you lost one game to Celtic and you came second. So, I mean, what's that to go off? And I know, you know, there was quite a few things that happened at Rangers that, you know, but again, you don't know the relationships involved, you don't know the personalities and all this sort of stuff. So, look, he's only really been a manager for, what, you're talking 18 months, really. But again, we're using terms like manager because he's coming into us and he's going to be the head coach. where he's going to be on the training pitch, and he's not going to be, you know, I think back to Roy Keane, where Roy Keane sat on the hill with his arms crossed and he was the manager. He watched his teams train and he watched the coaches do the work. He's not going to be like that. He's going to be the man in the middle doing the training, and he's going to be dictating what they do and patterns of play, making sure the coaches know what he wants. And that's part of the deal as well, the backroom staff, because they're going to stay consistent, which if we think we've got a good coaching setup, I think that's a great thing. What's the point in churning through good setups when you've got good people time and time again just because you change the manager or the head coach? I think that's a great system. If you know you've got a good bunch of coaches in, keep them on. And then that head coach is the one who keeps changing. I don't see that as a bad thing at all. To end with your last point, you said you're not excited about it. I mean, I'm not particularly, it's not kind of, oh, fantastic. You know, it's not like, I remember when Roy Keane was linked with a job and people were going mad because, you know, they really wanted Roy Keane to go back to where we were because he's a personality. And actually the way he acts is, you know, you can get behind a manager like that maybe a little bit more because he's got that bit about him. He's just got something about him. So that sort of thing does excite you. But what I was going to put it back to you was, because I don't know the answer to this, but in terms of where we are and what we're doing, what type of appointment would excite the fans? Because I don't know.
Well, I've been musing on this today, and to be honest, rightly or wrongly, I think this is the answer. But I just, going off the reaction that the rumours about the likes of Will Still and Julian Sable and Kim Hellberg got, I kind of think people wanted us to do something, try something of the unknown, even. I honestly think that was the appetite, that people were hoping for a young coach from abroad who's not really done very much, but they don't really know too much about, and it's like, ooh, I wouldn't mind seeing what that's like. But to me, that is a big, big risk when you do that. I mean, yeah. I mentioned Will Still before. He is flavour of the month at the minute, and he's doing a brilliant job where he is. If they'd brought him in, I would have been pretty happy with that. But when you weigh everything up, and you look at this guy, let's just say it's Will Still, for instance, is another option. I'm only naming him because he's basically the biggest other name that was kind of mooted as potentially going in for the job. There has been rumours from what I've heard that he wanted to bring a lot of his backroom team with him, which we're not going to do. We're not going to do that. So if they've got, say, a Michael Beale and a Will Still, it's like, okay, so is he so much better that we have to pay however many millions to get him out of his deal to do so? Now, I'm just using that as an example, like I say, because he's the name that was out there. Yeah. But I think there was a bit of an appetite there from fans just to try something, a bit of the unknown. Now, whether that's the right approach or not, I don't know. But if they had announced Will Still as the Sunderland manager, it wouldn't have got this reaction. I think the reaction is purely based on what went on at Rangers and what people from Rangers fans do not like Michael Beale. Universally do not like him. And it wasn't just about what they saw on the pitch. They didn't like the way that he talked in the press. They didn't like the way he treated some of the players who were popular that went out the door. I get all of that. But I do think there's a very clear difference between being the manager of Rangers, where you're heavily involved in recruitment, where you're under huge pressure to win titles and cups, to being the head coach at Sunderland, where I think that they're kind of redefining that role at the minute. And I think as a fan base, we're maybe still trying to get our heads around that, because we're just used to us appointing managers who do pretty much everything. And it's like, no, this is very different. Now, obviously, the difference between a manager and a head coach, some things are, you know, some aspects of the role are exactly the same. He's still going to have to be a good man manager. He's still going to have to coach the players. He's still going to have to be the one sitting out in front of the press talking about this, that and the other. Those are things that a coach, just your day-to-day coach, wouldn't usually do. We know that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the club have been, if you read the statement quite carefully, they've been very clear on what they actually wanted. They wanted a coach first and foremost. So, you know, I think that ultimately, I think people are going to be disappointed because he's been somewhere and just been somewhere and failed. And I think that that's very raw. Without looking at any of the stuff behind that, he's got like a 15-year career as a coach and worked in the academy at Liverpool, the academy at Chelsea, at Sao Paulo, Aston Villa. All of that is kind of being ignored because he's just had a bad spell at Rangers. And I think that's unfair, if I'm honest. So I'm not like bouncing off the walls saying, I'm over the moon with Michael Beale's appointment. But I think if we're going to be honest, we've got to give a rounded critique of what he is. And I don't think just judging him on his spell at Rangers is actually entirely fair. And I guess, you know, he's got to learn from the mistakes he's made in the past and then come into Sunderland and put things right. But yeah, I just think I don't really know if they would have made any appointment that would have universally appeased people. I think it would have been tough to win everybody over unless it was like someone you're going to really knock out the park with the appointment. And to be honest, I've been trying to think of who it could have been.
Exactly.
And I just can't get my head around who else it would have been.
Based on your answer to that question, and again, Will Still's the best example in that group. But for me, and people are asking questions about Michael Beale, but you'd have different questions about any of those choices. You'd raise question marks about all of them. I mean, is Will Still a fantastic manager, or is he a personality because of, you know, his links with Football Manager and stuff like that? Do people want him just because he's a bit of a novelty, or is he the real deal? I mean, who knows? There'd be question marks over that appointment. Like you said, that guy from Sweden, I mean, who knows what the standard's like over that? He might be really technical, he might be really talented and all this sort of stuff, but he might come at the Championship and the Championship might be a step too far. There'd be question marks there. And then you talk all of the other people who were linked, there's question marks about them all. And the same with Michael Beale. I mean, like you said, you're talking about someone with 18 months track record of being the main man at a club. Otherwise, it's nothing but good words about him from everybody in the game in terms of him being a coach and being good at what he did. I mean, you've got the likes of Steven Gerrard and stuff. Who, look, Steven Gerrard, you can say what you like about Steven Gerrard, and you know the jury's still out on whether he's a good manager. But for a character like Steven Gerrard, it doesn't. If somebody's a mug, he's going to let them know, or he's not going to kind of carry them around with him. And he's took him everywhere he could with him, and he wanted him as a coach, and he's got nothing but good things to say about him. And like I said, you know, people are talking about a young coach as well, but again, that's shifted because of Will Still. Michael Beale's 43 years old, and it might just be because he's not that much older than me. He's still a young coach, and he's been doing it for 20 years. So it's not like we're getting some old fella who's failed in a couple of jobs. You can tell how highly regarded he is for the fact that he went without any background as a player. He went straight in at QPR, fairly big size club for someone who's never been in management. And then from QPR to jump within 5 months to Rangers. Okay, he'd been there a coach, but he must have done something right for them to decide him to take that club forward and try and kind of battle it out with Celtic and do their thing. But like I said, I think with those two jobs, you can't take all of that much from those two jobs. And it's going to be the same thing. You know, we've talked about this before in the past, about even when Tony Mowbray was on a couple of bad runs and things like that, that if he won a couple of games, it's like, oh, great, everything's forgotten. We're back on it. It's going to be the same with Michael Beale. Like this reaction, which is nonsense, by the way, because nobody knows. The other thing I was going to say was about picking managers. It's not so much about, you know, it's looking at their talent, obviously, but it's how good are they fit with the job you want them to do and the club that they're at. It's getting the right manager to fit with the culture you've got at the club. And I mean, you know, let's go to the opposite side of the fence and say, well, if you got a Neil Warnock into the culture we've got at the club now, it'd be completely wrong. You know, that would be the opposite end of the spectrum of where we are. And this appointment seems like it's trying to fit in with what we are and what we're trying to do. So again, you know, the whole reaction is based on not very much, based on that they wanted a bigger name, or they wanted Will Still, who's a bit of a European football personality at the minute. And yeah, if he wins a couple of games, if he wins at the weekend, it's like, yeah, brilliant, right? Okay, Michael Beale's doing all right. Let's crack on. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they'll still whinge online, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, what it is with this is that I think if we'd brought in a coach who'd just been on the back of a bit of success, it's obviously very different how people get their head around it. Even in the club statement, they acknowledge that he's had a tough time. I think it might have been Speakman in the club statement. I'll tell you what, I'll read it out. This is what Christian Speakman had to say in the club statement. He said, "We have monitored Michael's career for some time, and we are delighted to have reached an agreement for him to become our new head coach. He has an excellent and well-founded reputation for developing players, and he is an outstanding progressive coach who is aligned with our playing identity and naturally fits within our structure alongside Mike Dodds and the wider team. We continue to trust in our established process of identifying the right candidates to take us forward at these junctures, and although Michael has had a setback, we feel we are getting him at the right time in his coaching journey and our journey as a club. So, you know, they've even acknowledged it there that he's come off the back of a tough experience with Rangers. But what they're basically saying there is that regardless of that, we still think he's a very, very good coach who ultimately fits what we're trying to do here. And the best term I can sort of use to come to this is like, it's a bit like that Moneyball type situation, isn't it? Where you're like, you get people at the right time in their careers, or the like players especially, because you're buying them on sort of metrics rather than the last thing they did, maybe. You know, if you know what I mean by that, basically, he's a good coach, clearly. It's well known. He wouldn't have been in the running for the Wolves job a year or so ago. He wouldn't have got the Rangers job if there wasn't something there. There's clearly something there which they feel very strongly about. Now, only time's going to tell if this is the right thing to do. I'm sure there's people listening to this, and judging by the reaction online, me and you are nowhere near on the keel of a lot of fans at the minute when it comes to the way we're looking at this. And that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It'll all come out in the wash at some point. What's going to happen? It's all going to unfold out in front of us. But I'm not sensing the overwhelming negativity about this appointment that a lot of people are. And, you know, I'm quite happy to just sit back and let this play out. Now, I get that not a lot of people are in the same boat as me with that. And I've got to stress it. I'm not sitting here saying I'm over the moon with the appointment, that I'm bouncing off the walls. I said this at the very start. He wouldn't have been on my list of sort of when I was first sitting down when we sacked Mowbray trying to work out who to bring in. I don't think Beale would have been on that list of names, but then...
Just quickly, I was just going to ask why not.
Possibly because I was hoping for somebody who hadn't just come off the back of a disappointment. But then again, that's not necessarily the right way to look at it. You know, I just think the best person available for the job should get the job. And if Michael Beale's that man, then he's that man. We're going to find out either way.
But I would like to think that someone like Michael Beale in the jobs that he's had, you can only look on paper with QPR, it seemed all right. You know, there weren't, you know, wasn't kind of unbelievable. It seemed like he was kind of steady away, better than what happened after he left. But it's talking about being the right time. He had a tough time at Rangers and things happened at Rangers. And if he's a talented fella and he's got a lot of experience, as we've been talking about in terms of being head coach and assistant coach and all this sort of stuff, then being the right time, isn't it a good thing that he's been to Rangers and he might have made some mistakes and he kind of saw what the consequences of certain things, and then he's learned from that. And if he's already a talented fella and he's learned some of those lessons, well, isn't that the ideal scenario that, oh, brilliant, actually, he's even more prepared for us to take him in? Because actually, when he went to Rangers, if, like Christian Speakman said, we had him on a list of people to say if we needed a manager at short notice, like, you know, the Alex Neil scenario, or, you know, deciding it was the end for Tony Mowbray, we go down this list. What is the situation at the moment with these people who we really like across Europe? And they go down this list and they go, right, well, let's talk to them all. Let's talk to the clubs. See, you know, and if there's not much between a couple of candidates, and one's going to cost you 5 million to get out of a club, and one's just sitting on his backside, you know, unemployed, and you're thinking between the two of them, well, then it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? You're going to, if you're thinking they're both much of a muchness, you're going to go with the one who's sitting on his backside and you can get in tomorrow and he can sign a contract rather than paying 5 million to get him out of a club. But that's a good thing that, well, I'd like to think it's a good thing that Christian Speakman's hinting at in that statement, is that for this exact scenario, that's kind of they went through a process.
Yeah.
They had their people already identified, and straight away, if you consider, if it's true, you know, from what we hear bits and pieces that people have been interviewed, that a bunch of people have been interviewed, and it's actually a not huge amount of time that they've done it in, then it's been done in a really good way, that they've gone down a list, they've spoken to all these people, found out the situation with their clubs, and then made a decision based on that they've gone out there and they've been monitoring all of these people, just like we would, you know, if we wanted a, if we wanted a right back, we've got a list of right backs that the scouts have been watching.
Yeah.
And it's the same as a head coach.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've done that. And I just wanted to mention something you said, that you're quite happy to sit back and see how it plays out. But for me, it's like, that should be everybody's default position. Like, nobody can look at an appointment and say, I've decided.
But they have. That's the thing from what I've...
I know, from what I'm reading and seeing,
a lot of people are already... I've actually seen people sort of kind of wishing he'd hurry up and fuck off already. But it's like...
I mean, how can you do that? I mean, it just doesn't... Because what you said when you said, I'm happy to sit back and play out. I mean, the club, over the last 2 years, have time and time again just, you know, they've had to make these decisions. The Lee Johnson one was a tough one. When Alex Neil left, they had to make a good decision. Then they had to make a tough call on Tony Mowbray. In the last 2 years, they've never once failed to keep moving this club forward. You know, or the last two, whatever it's been, I don't know even how long it's been now, but you know what I mean? Since they came in and, you know, the Lee Johnson was appointed and all this sort of stuff, they've never failed to move this club forward. So they've got credit in the bank, or they should have credit in the bank for people to say, they seem to know what they're doing. They keep moving the club forward. You know, we're in a good place. This is what I don't understand. That the bottom line for me is, the club's in a good place. We're ahead of where we expected to be probably 2 years ago. We've got a good squad. We've got a really talented squad. We've got a bunch of good players, young players, really good squad. And we've appointed a coach who's got, you know, a good reputation in the game for bringing players on and doing good things from that sort of position. So I don't really get what the fuss is.
Well, that doesn't seem to be the default position. And people are going to sit back and sort of, I guess, hope Michael Beale wins them over. I mean, I asked on Twitter, if you're a Michael Beale skeptic, what does he do to win you over? You know, and some of the replies, you know, some quite good replies. Owen Sarah said, play good football and not ostracise the wingers and not talk bollocks in interviews. John Ridley says, win games first and foremost. Can we be more streetwise in picking up points away from home? Can we play a system that gets strikers contributing to the team? Beat the mags and we'll sit down and talk. Michael Oates says, hit the ground running. He simply has to silence the doubters. Winning games is the only way to do so. I mean, it's very obvious, isn't it? You know, people's minds will only be changed when we start winning games, and that's what he's got to do. And it's like, you know, when Mike Dodds was appointed as caretaker head coach while we were looking for the replacement of Tony Mowbray, prior to that, Mike Dodds's experience as caretaker head coach the first time around was horrific. I've never seen such vitriol thrown towards a caretaker before, and we were involved in that too, because we did think he was useless. But then what he did was, is he proved everybody wrong and showed what he could do, and we won two games of football that I didn't think we were going to get any points from, really. Yeah. And then we afterwards were sitting in, and then after that, a lot of people were saying, well, I would have given the job to Mike Dodds. So, you know, what Michael Beale's got to do is, he's just got to keep doing, he's got to do all of the right things immediately. And the best way to do that is just to win games of football. Now, I don't think there's going to be a honeymoon period, because he's not going to be afforded that. A lot of people have already made their minds up on him. So what he's got to do immediately is prove why he's here. And it'll not take long. If we get a couple of wins in the first two games, you know, people are going to be sitting there a lot calmer about the situation than they are maybe in the immediate aftermath of the appointment.
Yeah, but the other thing is, people have got to remember, though, as well, we're talking about him winning the games, which is obvious, but the expectation now can't be to go on a run of, you know, oh, we should win the next five games or something like that. We're in a bunch of clubs behind that top four. We're in a bunch of clubs now who are about the same level in terms of, you know, where they are. And we are about in the right position for our squad in the table. That's where we are. We're on that kind of cusp of being in the playoffs, and it's going to take some good results and good performances to get us in there, because there's only two spots to play for, and it's that tight. There's nothing between about 10 clubs in this division. We can't have expectations that he's going to suddenly get us into that top four or something like that. It's like, this is where we're there or thereabouts, and... You know, he's just, if we see progress on the pitch and the results are, we're at least putting in the performances, then that's all you can ask. But also, you know, we can't expect him to suddenly shoot up the table and win six off the bounce. I mean, the expectation level's got to be right at the same time.
Yeah. Anyways, we will save our voices, Chris, because we've got a
his first game.
Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back with the preview for Saturday's game. Michael Beale's first in charge, of course. So let's see how things go between now and then. But it's been good chatting with you, mate, as always.
All right. Cheers, mate.
And cheers to listeners. Thanks for joining us. If you want to throw shade our way, then by all means do so. We'll choose whether to acknowledge it or not. Now, seriously, though, I think that whatever you think about Michael Beale, I think he deserves at least a chance to prove himself. And like Chris said, that should, you would think, would be the default position of everybody, whether you're sort of happy or not. But let's see, mate. Yes, we'll be back with the preview. And make sure you buy the book if you haven't already. There's still a few copies of that left from the Love Supreme website. Also, donate to the Soup Kitchen fundraiser this year. It's going to run up until the end of December. Make sure you get the money in the pot to help them out if you can at all. And we'll catch you on the next one. See you then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.